You're listening to Almost Famous with Jim Francis Meza, only on LA Talk Radio.
Gang, once again, it's Jim Francis, Almost Famous. Thanks so much for tuning in. This time, on this particular occasion, we are doing it out of the house, live streaming from the comfort of my home here. So without further ado, let's talk about the gentleman that I'm about to introduce. He came in clutch. This guy, I mean, I got to tell you, when everything seemed to fail, and sand seemed to go right through my fingers, this guy came through like an Avenger. I want to extend my gratitude to a special guy. This guy's a drummer. He's not just a drummer. He's a badass drummer for not one band, but two bands. Gonna have to do some explaining to me about that. And the guy is fantastic. I met him at a comedy club. He's a graduate from UCLA, you know, with an emphasis in percussion. So And he's done some compositions for movies. He's done some scores and a couple of motion pictures. So, guys, without further ado, let's help me welcome Mr. David Ibo! Whoa!
Thanks for having me.
As I fucking live and breathe, man. How the hell are you, brother?
I'm doing all right. It's been a minute.
I know. It literally has. We talked about a minute ago.
Yeah, we did. I could get my sound going.
I know. It's insane. No, I mean, hey, dude, thanks for last minute coming through. You know, our good friend and owner and producer of the show, Sam, he's a little under the weather. So, we're all live streaming from home. But before you know it, we'll be back in action in the studio. Super grateful for you to come on the show. You know, I've been doing the show for almost 6 months now, and my, where does time go? You know, you would say, during which time I've had such a blast. I've introduced and interviewed, had the pleasure of interviewing quite a bit of people. Everyone, every last one of them, every single one of them is fantastic in their own right. They all have great stories. So let's continue the magic. But today I want to talk about you. I mean, you are a fascinating drummer. You have a show. Let's talk about that first and foremost. You have a show October 26th, if I'm not mistaken, at the Whiskey of Go-Go, no less.
Yeah, it's Saturday.
Okay, so what's the deal, bro? I do want to ask you, because you're the drummer for an 80s cover band called New Dissidents, right?
Yes.
So you guys are rebels. Love it.
Exactly.
But you have explain this. You have an opening band, Fast Times, all right? Reminds you of Fast Times, Richmond High. It's obviously a nod to that, okay? But explain to me this. You're in both bands.
I'm not officially in both bands.
Okay, not officially.
I'm New Dissident. I'm the New Dissidents drummer.
Right.
I'm a backup drummer for Fast Times. So if for some reason their drummer gets sick, he gets hit by a car, whatever, they can call me, and I'm gonna be ready to
rock and roll.
And rock and roll. Yeah. It's happened to two or three times only. But yeah, every member of that band has a backup for some emergency. Yeah.
I hear there's a thing called AI these days, so you never know, you know?
The AI's not going to do it for the drummer.
You know, they got this whole AI movement that's going on, man. They're trying to take over the world. The machines will eventually take over the world. I think there was some truth to the Terminator saga, you know?
Yeah, but they'll cause some problems, but... Yeah. You know, we were saying the same thing when drum machines were coming out. We're like, that's the end of the drummer. No more drummers. Now it's like, yeah, no, we want a real drummer. We don't want we don't want a machine. We don't like that.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it you can tell what it is, and it's just, it's not musical, and it doesn't groove.
Yeah, most definitely. I agree with you. I happen to be a huge, as you know, you and I have had this conversation before, huge rock and roll fan. All genres really of music, but jazz, rock, and Tex-Mex is really close and dear to my heart. I have family musicians, but let's talk about your childhood. So you grew up, you're a SoCal kid. You're like an Angeleno, bro.
Yeah. It's not.
Where about town?
Grew up in Santa Monica. It's a couple miles from the beach.
Yeah. Wow. Beach bum? Were you a beach bum at all?
I was not. No, okay. my parents kept me busy. I didn't have time. I was
marching band geek, huh?
Well, yeah, I was big time. Still am. I go out to the drum and bugle corps shows. You know,
geeks rule, bro. Geeks rule for sure. Yeah, cool geeks, bro. Cool geeks. Think about it. Tommy Lee was also in a marching band. You know, Tommy Lee was a part of the marching band. A lot of other drummers and rock stars have come out of marching bands. Honest to God, it's like you get free training.
There are a few of them.
Yeah.
So I did that. I did marching band all through high school and all through college too.
Wow, that's what's up. But you also, like we talked about earlier, I mean, you're a bookkeeper. Well, you were a bookkeeper, and then now you started doing kind of work for a real estate company, correct?
Yeah.
That's your bread and butter.
Yeah. That's my work. I do accounting for a real estate developer. That's how I make money. It'd be nice to do it playing drums, but that hasn't happened yet.
Right. Wow, you're at the cusp, man. Let me tell you, you're on Almost Famous.
So I know, you're getting there, dude. Almost Famous. If I cuss, will I be famous? Will that make us famous?
Huh? What the fuck are you talking about? Oh shit! Yeah, you
can. Oh, the fuck just happened?
Hey, I gotta let's talk about how we met, dude. It was really cool because me and Carla, who's in your band as well, right?
Yeah,
she's
a bass player.
She's also a stand-up comedian, correct?
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah, so she's a
bass player and a stand-up comedian as well. Isn't that right?
She's a bass player. She's an actor. First and foremost, she does acting. She's an actor.
Yeah.
She also has a comedy duo, like a ukulele comedy duo called Songs That Embarrass Our Family.
That's right. Yeah.
Super, super funny. Really clever stuff. And then she's started doing stand-up, I don't know, maybe a year ago or so. And, real talented girl.
Yeah. Well, we met at Flappers. Remember, we took this stand-up comedy class. It was just like a no-brainer. I said, let's do it. And then you were there. And we sat across from each other with my buddy James Walsh.
Right.
My boy. And then we started talking, I hit it off. And then next, you went up and did our thing and that was cool. What'd you think of the whole experience?
It was a lot of fun. It was neat. I mean, it wasn't anything like that, blew my socks off to where I was like, I've got to do this, but it was fun. It was neat to go through the, some of the steps that stand-ups, go through and just on the most basic of levels, but it was cool. It was fun. It was neat. I was really glad that I did it. Yeah.
Me too. It was great. Met a few cool people there. And then some people I found out later that are actual stand-up comedians that just had nothing better to do on Saturday morning or Sunday morning. They just showed up. Fuck it. I got nothing better to do. Just show up to the class.
Well, that was kind of what Carla's thing was. She was like, I'll go with you and do a refresher course.
Yeah.
Refreshers
are good.
The basics are always useful.
Everything all rolls back to the basics. If you... Yeah. Forget about the basics. You're gonna think you're higher than where you're supposed to be.
Everything everything you do has some fundamentals to it, and you need to know those.
The building blocks, right?
Yep, yep. Foundation.
You start somewhere. And now, so what's the deal? Like, what inspired you to do drumming, specifically?
What inspired me? I can't remember. Like, I just always liked it. I don't know if there was a particular band. I mean, I remember watching the Beatles.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Ringo was back there just, you know, slamming the drums, and the drums were shaking, and I was like, that looks cool.
Yeah.
I wanted, you know, that would be really cool to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was. I think it was just a matter of hitting something. It was like,
yeah, you're like, fuck it.
I like that.
Yeah, you get your frustration out, right?
Oh, big time. Very therapeutic.
Yeah,
very therapeutic.
Like a catharsis.
Yes.
Yes. Hitting stuff, and then you're like, hey, wait a minute. Oh wow, you could actually do something with this. I love it.
Get out that aggression until you can play something nice and mellow. Then you're like, okay, I'm calm.
Cool. And when did you start playing drums?
So I think I was in third or fourth grade, and we're talking the most basic of nothing. Like, I think my parents got me some Sears drum kit, like that probably cost $50 or less. I don't know. But hey, in
the Sears catalog, they looked a certain way, and then when you actually got them, we're like smaller, and they're like fucking plastic.
They were like a very thin, like stainless steel with paper drum heads. Yeah. Like
it was primitive.
It was for like a 3 year old, eight or nine or whatever. Maybe no, I would have been. No, older than that. 10? How old are you? Third or fourth grade. Anyway, I wanted to do drums.
I was 5 years old. I'm just kidding.
I wanted to do drums in the elementary school band, but they didn't offer it. They were like, no. So I was like, trumpet. I'll do trumpet. I'll do the next loud, obnoxious thing. So I did that until ninth grade. And that's when I was like, I gotta scoot over. And so I did. They let me, and
they shouldn't have let you, right?
Oh, yeah. So many things have gone wrong since then.
The rest, as they say, it's history.
The rest is history.
And you walked away from music for a while, is that correct?
Yeah. So after I graduated and I was just starting to get my feelers out, I actually went to SC for film scoring motion picture and television. And I started doing, you know, a couple student films and that sort of thing. And it was cool. Then I started a family, and it was like, I gotta do something where I can be a little bit more responsible, rather than something that I still hadn't made a dime in, and there were no signs of
like I smoked a dime, but I hadn't made a dime.
But excuse me.
Yeah.
So that's when I started working at this company that bought and sold airtime for infomercials, because that they had benefits.
Yeah, so exactly.
I was able to have benefits. My wife, you know, we had the baby. And then 2001 is when I switched over. One of my best buddies worked for this general contractor. And he said, hey, do you like your job? And I was like, no. He says, you want to come over and work with me? I'm like, oh, yeah, let's do that. He's like, yeah, we need some help. I'm like, okay, I'll commit to a year while I'm, you know, still doing some music stuff on the side. Right. Well, a year has now turned into 24 years. So
Fantastic, bro.
There you go.
Wow. Wow. So you started like way at the bottom, you say, like rank and file, and then you move your way up? Or was it kind of, okay?
Yeah, well.
24 years.
Yeah, 24 years. Now I'm the, what am I now? I'm the corporate accounts manager.
Love it, dude. And then, but at night, you let your hair down, and you're a fucking drummer.
So to speak, yeah. I get on, you know, some ratty shirts and pants and go out there and just make Rock a lot out. Of noise.
Yeah.
Pumping out on some 80s tunes.
Hell yeah. So you guys play all across like a plethora of songs, right? Like a music from just basically all ingrained in the 80s, right? So it's all like anywhere from Most Billy Idol. Would you say Billy Idol? Like the
Yeah,
the
we've done Billy Idol. So let's see what's on our set.
Iron Maiden.
We're working on an Iron Maiden, a couple Iron Maiden songs that we're going to mash up together. It's in the works. I'm hoping for our next show we'll be able to present it whenever that is. I don't know yet.
Rest in peace, Paul Di'Anno. Huh? Passed away a couple days ago. They're original.
Yeah,
Killers, original baby, Killers. Great.
Yeah, yeah. Sad times.
Yeah, he's only 66 years of age. He's in a wheelchair. I mean, he's confined to a wheelchair, but
yeah,
but poor still, guy, man. It's tough. Still,
a lot of people are dying, man. Fernando Valenzuela.
Yeah.
Oh,
he was
the Dodgers.
Yeah, man. The Dodger in the 80s.
The Dodger, dude. I remember. I watched it.
Yeah, I watched it too. Everybody, I think there was a moment where it stung. Everybody had like that moment of grief where we all grieved together collectively, you know, as a nation. Probably, I would dare say, even worldwide. I mean, there's so many people that knew who these people are. Yeah. We don't have the larger scope because we live in like one place. You go other places, people know who they are. So, yeah. I mean, the news just spread like wildfire. Everybody was completely sad. Not the least of which, he was only 63 years of age or 62. Again. He's a kid, yeah, man.
Pretty young.
Did you know that Bobby? Another Dodger great, Bobby Castillo, who also went to my high school. Bobby Castillo taught Fernando Valenzuela, this is a little sidebar, taught him how to do the curveball, the famous curveball he was known for.
Oh, really?
Bobby Castillo, who played for the Dodgers in the 80s.
Okay. Okay.
Well, yeah, but then he passed away about 5, 7, maybe 10 years almost. About. He lived in Alhambra towards the last, you know, few years of life. And I'm talking about Bobby Castillo. And he lived literally down the street, like a stone's throw from my house.
Wow.
Yeah. So I got to see him once or twice. But anyway, yeah, Fernando Valenzuela, it's sad. And you also play for the Angels. I'm kind of an Angels fan. I don't know if you knew this, but.
Are you? No. Yeah.
And he played for the Angels in the early 90s, I think for one season or two. I'm not quite sure.
Okay. Yeah. I vaguely remember that.
But he's known for Dodger, Fernando Mania, baby. He's Dodger.
Yeah, he's
a Dodger 150%. Dude, so yeah, it's a lot of people. As of late, you know, passed on. Hey, let me ask you something. I'm really curious to know because, you know, do you pick up the guitar occasionally? Like, I'm just saying, like, any other instrument other than the ones you've mentioned before?
So when I was, like, between the ages of, like, 6 and 8, I think, I took a general, music theory class. My parents were musicians.
Holy shit.
And so my dad was a fabulous pianist. My mom's a fabulous violinist. She's 80. My dad passed a few years ago. My mom is like 80, 84 now, 85. She still teaches private lessons on Zoom and stuff.
Get out of town. That's beautiful.
She's got like
wonderful, bro.
I don't know, a dozen students that she
keeps her. It keeps her going. Keeps her going. Yeah. And you know, young at heart for sure, because her brain keeps working. That's what you want to do. Was
totally. But anyway, so all the kids in my family, we all went to this lady in our neighborhood that I have no idea how my parents knew her, or how we got in touch with her. But she had, you know, she did like these small classes in her home with like, I don't know, 4, 5 or 6 students at a time. And so I learned like some guitar chords, you know, your basic chords, as well as, you know, piano theory and stuff like that. I hated it at the time, but now I'm like, oh, that was helpful as far as, you know, being a musician goes.
Sure.
Because there was stuff that I learned there that I kept, you know, into my UCLA years when I was entering UCLA.
Yeah.
You had to take this aptitude class to see where they're going to place you in your music theory.
Sure.
And I skipped out of the first year because I knew stuff. And I was like, it was stuff that I learned when I was six. But I was
holy shit. Yeah.
Like, yeah, I know that. I know what that
sounds like. It served you well at the end of the day. It really does.
Yeah.
You know? So how many, how does that work? Like, you have to put in the time. I know when I jam, I have a guitar occasionally.
Uh-huh.
Get on that and write a few songs for my girl. But when you're drumming, do you put in the time? Do you still practice like a novice would, like some novice person?
Yeah.
You do?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
really?
Definitely. So I, you know, so I studied percussion all growing, like from ninth grade all the way through college.
Really? Now?
It was traditional orchestral percussion. Wow. I never had a drum set lesson. I could play the drums and, you know, I listened and mm-hmm. played, you know, and I, you know, I was no slouch, but I had my first actual drum lesson like a year and a half ago.
No, like, you're fucking kidding.
Yeah.
No, like, lie? No lie. Yeah. You did. No kidding.
No just kidding.
Really? Holy shit.
I had my first lesson because I was like, you know what? I'm doing this. I want to make myself better. Like,
right.
I don't want to just be Mr. You know, I can play boom, 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 boom. You know, I want to be able to expand on things. I want to be able to play more precisely. I need somebody to say, yeah, that what you're doing right there, that sucks. Instead of everybody going, oh no, you do great. No, I need somebody to say that sucks. You need work on that. And here's what you can do.
We are our worst critics, you know, by leaps and bounds. I could say that, you know, personally, a lot of different things that I've, you know, dabbled with, music being one of them, but I don't do that in no way, shape or form where I ever like, you know, self-proclaimed musician or anything. No. I mean, I do it as a hobby. For me, it's always been a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
But I really respond to musicians. I mean, people that do this kind of stuff, I gravitate to like moth to a fire. You know, it's like, fuck, right. This is so badass. But it takes so many hours of practice. And
it does.
You know, like the adage, you know, practice makes perfect kind of thing and that sort of thing. But I mean, you're living proof of, if you put in the time, you know, I don't know if you put in a lot of time, I guess you get better and better, but do you ever feel like you get better? Do you ever feel like you've arrived? Do you ever feel like you've arrived?
Arrived at
at the peak. Like, you know what? I'm done. This is where I want to be. Like maybe,
no,
you know, no, right. We never do. No. Right? Isn't that crazy?
I mean, I get to steps, you know, when,
right.
You know, if there's something that I'm working on that I want to be able to do and I work and I get there, but there's always something more that you can do. You can always raise the bar a little bit.
Otherwise you plateau, huh? You kind of feel like you plateau at some point.
Yeah. If you're starting here and your goal is to get to here, well, you might just fail if you're trying to get there. Like in 1 month.
Right.
But if you break it up and you're like, okay, wait, in a month I could get here. And then maybe in another month I could get here. And then like it actually goes faster. Like the more you do, the faster you're able to reach your goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
that's phenomenal, bro.
But yeah. You do have to take, you know, kind of have to take baby steps,
sure. Especially
when you're learning something brand new.
Yeah,
you have to be willing to fail. And just
Who are the greats in your eyes? Like, who's like people that? I mean, there are plenty, but who's like one person you say, "Well, that guy stands out."
You know,
far and wide.
I mean, for me, growing up, my all time idol was Neil Peart. Of Rush. You know, and his idols were, you know, John Bono and Keith Moon, and, you know, and Ginger Baker, and Ginger they Baker. All had their idols, you know, going back and back, you know, like it goes back down back to Gene Krupa and these, you know, these guys, these old cats that kind of invented the drum kit.
Yeah.
You know,
I feel like somewhere like in the bedrock or something, like somebody was angry as fuck already drumming, saying, "Oh shit, wait, what did I just do?" You know what I mean? Like, and then like, "Whoa, fuck, what did you just do?" And you know what I mean? Like, music's innate; it comes in, or it's in our DNA. So, who knows, right? I mean, who knows where it all started? But yeah, I just mentioned wow, the greats. Led Zeppelin and Yardbirds were essentially almost the same band, right? Except for Robert Plant. I'm adding Robert Plant in.
Yeah, I think so. I think there was something like that. But was Bono in the Yardbirds?
No. So yeah. Ginger Baker and And then obviously
Cream and the Yardbirds.
Oh wait. I think I got my drummers all mixed up. So. Ginger Baker was in Cream, right? He was part of Cream.
Yeah.
And then, but it's funny because Eric Clapton was also in the Yardbirds. Okay, so I got
and in Cream, yeah.
And Cream. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, man. I get the coffee going. I have ADHD, and believe it or not, it helps tame my ADHD.
Caffeine does.
All right.
Yeah, it's like the opposite. Well, if you have ADHD, some caffeine calms you, so you can.
Are you suffer? Right. You suffer from the same beast or not?
No. I know people.
Yeah. So it's pretty astronomical here. Like your family. So you had music playing. What would be considered your favorite kind of music? Like, what do you listen to mostly? What's in your playlist? I'd be in your car. What's in your playlist?
There's a lot of Rush. There's a lot of old classic progressive rock. Most recently, the last few years, I've been like obsessed with this band called Animals as Leaders.
Animals as Leaders.
They're a progressive metal band. Three players. They're all insanely technical and talented. The drummer's name is Matt Garska.
Okay.
Then there are two guitarists, no bass player.
Oh, wow.
There are two 8-string guitars.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And they're insane. One of the guitars' name is Tosin Abasi. The other one's Javier. And his last name is
escapes
me right blanking now. On me. But anyway, progressive metal. It's some of the stuff is like very listenable to, or yeah, listenable for your average, you know, metal, you know, listener. And some of it is really
out there
that like takes a few listens to go, oh, okay, I kind of hear what they're doing. But it's like, wow. They like to mess around with rhythms and rhythmic modulation and stuff like that, and chordal modulations here and there. But they're insane, and I've been kind of obsessed with them for the last little bit.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Obviously you like punk rock, correct?
I do. Yeah. I didn't get into it until just like the last. I don't know, 7 or 8 years.
You like the poppy kind, or would you say you're more like full on, you know, all hell break loose punk?
I couldn't tell you. I honestly couldn't tell you. I'm that much of a novice.
Right.
I went to my first punk concert a few years ago. I went to see Rancid.
Oh, I love Rancid.
What's it called? Down by USC.
Okay. Is anyway. That new? Is it that new? The new bank of something? No, it's another. Mm-hmm.
It's old. It's an old place.
Coliseum. Anyway, okay.
Not at the Coliseum.
Okay, cool. Another spot.
It's a theater. Anyway, okay. But they were outside anyway because it was right at the like tail end of all the COVID, crap. So it was Rancid, Dropkick Murphys.
Oh, those are the classics, the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a blast. I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's some of the favorites. Like I also like a little rockabilly punk, like the Misfits.
Yeah.
Glenn Danzig got back with Jerry Only and got the band together, and that shit's
really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, for a couple of shows. I think they won Halloween night. I mean, rightly so, Halloween. Their song, right? The big hit. During Halloween a couple of years ago, 2-3 years ago, might be even longer now. And that was so rad, dude. I mean, I've seen some of the YouTube clips. Just imagine the whole band together. They hadn't been together. I think they had another singer, Michael Graves.
Okay.
Yeah, that was lead singer for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Misfits, dude. Dead Kennedys, fucking yeah. TSOL, Sounds of Liberty is an Orange County band.
Yeah. So TSOL, that was a surprise for me. I live out in Agoura, right like near the Canyon Club out here. And so I'll go over there just like if I got nothing going on. I'll just go over there. I'll look to see who's playing. There was this band TSOL. I didn't know who they were because
they're badass, dude.
And next level. I went and I was like,
"Were you disappointed?"
And I was like, "Whoa!" They were awesome.
Mind blowing. Yeah.
And it was kind of funny because Carla, she learned bass to punk. Like punk is her her jam. Mm-hmm. And so I texted her. I was like, "Oh man, there's a really cool band at the Canyon. I should have seen if you wanted to go, but I had no idea." She's like, "Who is it?" I'm like, "TSOL." She's like,
"Are you fucking kidding me?" You're like, "What?
You son of a bitch! Why didn't you tell
lost
me?"
Your shit like, right there.
I didn't know.
That's fucking amazing, dude. Yeah, TSOL, Sounds of Liberty. Yeah, dude, and they're Circle Jerks. They're great Circle Jerks. They're fantastic. And then just the Attics and like a bunch of other punk bands that we don't have time for the sake of time, we'll leave out. But dude, let's talk about real quick once again because it's 8:35, believe it or not. Where did time go?
Time goes.
Fuck, we're having a good time. We're just kind of barely like scratching the surface here. Let's talk about real quick the concert. Okay. So what's the best venues you guys played at?
Best venues that I've played at.
Yeah, thus far.
I love playing at the Whiskey. The Whiskey's cool.
Whiskey Go-Go, babe.
The Whiskey Go-Go. The Canyon Club out in Agoura.
Like that place.
It's got great sound. It's big. Parking is easy. It's really mellow. It is a little bit far out for, people in LA and Hollywood. It's
worth
like,
it, dude. Worth
it's not right in your backyard, but it's a comfortable drive.
And that's what makes it all the better too. Like it makes that fact that it's outside of Hollywood. It's like, just past Thousand Oaks actually, right? Thousand Oaks in Agoura.
It's in Agoura Hills. It's in Agoura Hills, right off of Canaan.
Mm-hmm. Canaan.
And I mean it's so easy to just go in there. You're not battling for parking and trying to find parking somewhere here and there.
You should go see Social Distortion. They're gonna be playing there.
Yeah.
Social D. Mike Mass, another local guy from Fullerton.
Yeah.
Great band, dude. Social D.
Totally.
Fantastic band. And then so you're saying the Whiskey at Go-Go.
The Whiskey
at Go-Go. This place is like holy shit, this place can fucking talk. It's legendary. The Doors, the Perception. Totally. The Doors played there years in the 1960s.
Everybody's played there.
Everybody, right? I mean, anybody. Motley Crue lived right up the street, famously. Yep. Lived a few houses up from the building.
Yep.
Total debauchery, bro. Now, do you guys party obviously you're a dad now and whatnot. You know, you have your children. But back in the day, did you party like there was no tomorrow kind of thing? Like just,
no, I was a really good and down to earth kid. You know, okay. I was playing my drums, playing the trumpet, going to church, playing basketball. Basketball was another one of my big loves. Great. I was busy. I don't know if it was all my choice or I got, you know, nudged by my parents to do these things. I didn't have time to mess around. I really didn't.
Do you ever get fucked up? Real quick, do you ever get fucked up when you go drunk? Were you ever drunk at all?
So there was one show that we did at the North End in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Where we got there a little early and
you just blasted out your asshole.
We ended up, we should have waited, but we did some absinthe before.
Okay.
Like before we played. I don't remember much of that show.
That's the cool part about it.
It went all right, I think. But yeah, I don't like to do that. I like to be able to know what I'm doing and I
love that about you, man.
And be in control, especially when I'm playing, because I've heard back, you know, even if I've like had, you know, a drink, you know, too many, you know, one drink too many, like beforehand.
Yeah.
And I try to record myself, you know, of all of my gigs. So I can critique myself and go, oh, that sucked. You need to work on that. Or, you know, you could have done that better. That worked really well. Do that again. But anyway, I can totally notice when I had like more than one drink is.
Yeah. It's fatal.
It's it can be fatal as far musically fatal.
Uh-huh.
And because I can't keep the straight beat. It's not good. It's not good. So no, the answer is no. And then after the show, all I want is water.
Because you're completely fucking like drained, dude. Like I'm drained.
I've sweat so much.
Yeah. So you're in great physical shape. I mean, you know, because if you're not, you will be by the time we've done this for a while, right? Is that the case?
Yeah. If you're gonna play a lot, you do need to be in good shape.
Good shape, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you like a vegetarian or what's your eating habits like? Are you trying to take care of yourself?
So just in the last couple of years, my body seems like it's been going through some changes, and I finally kind of adopted a carnivore diet.
Okay.
And so far I'm loving
Bitching.
I'm loving it. I've never been a veggie fan anyway. I ate them, but it was more as a just like, oh, well, these are supposed to be so good for you, so you need to. But since I adopted this, I'm just like, man, I don't think I'm ever going back. I feel so good.
You're invigorated.
Totally.
Always on, David.
I got energy. I'm like
for days.
Feeling great.
I love talking to you, man, and you're like fucking blessing to me, and you're awesome.
And same to you. Thank you.
Dude, thank you so much for coming on. Hey, can you tell me real quick your social media handles, bro, so we can
on Instagram, I mean, you can look up David Iba, but I've got two handles there. One is just a private, but the other one, my drum one is Iba. That's IBA. Dot drums official, and you can see that. And then the band handle is New Dissidents, both on Instagram and on Facebook and on YouTube.
And when will you be playing?
So we're playing this Saturday at the Whiskey A Go-Go. It's a big Halloween party. Fast Times, which you mentioned earlier, they're an awesome 80s cover band. They're headlining at 10:30. We're right before them at around 9:30. There's other bands. Doors open at 6 o'clock. If you want discount tickets, hit me up, and I'll send you a link to get on our discount ticket list. It's like we got them for $15, but if you go to the door to the whiskey website, they're like $20 plus some fees. Like
they're beating you, you know.
They always have some fees, but yeah, we can get you in for $15. So just hit me up if there's anybody out there, you know, got the scoop.
That's our show, man. Bro, we're going to have such a great time at the show.
Yeah.
You know,
you gonna come out?
Yeah, we're as soon as my wife, you know, she turns that corner, you know, she's been under the weather lately.
You got 3 days.
Yeah, to recover, and then hopefully we can make it out.
Yeah.
I'll be looking for you VIP. I'm gonna have a limo, stretch limo. I'm going to drive us. You know, I was a Formula
One. There you go.
All right, my man. Yeah, well, that's it. That's the show. Thanks for coming on, my brother. David, Iba, guys, take it away.
You're listening to Almost Famous with Jim Francis Meza, only on LA Talk Radio.